Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, last week we started a new teaching titled The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Most Christians know that praying should be a part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. As a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause a person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching is designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We will be examining why it is important for us to pray on a daily basis, and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that our prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and our need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in his holy word to come boldly to his throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach his throne according to his word. This study will consist of 10 parts. An introduction, which we will continue with today. Part 1, the prayer of agreement. Part 2, petition prayer. Part 3, intercessory prayer. Part 4, anointing with oil. Part 5, laying on of hands. Part 6, gifts of healings. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Part 8, special anointings. And part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. You will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying gives us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer to use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. Listener, if you were not with us last week, please go to our website at kccfc.net. to hear the first episode of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible Translation, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue with the introduction of this teaching. Before I ran out of time last week, we had just finished reading from Psalm chapter 18. I was explaining that if we pray according to the Holy Bible, our words reach the ears of God. And we know that if God hears us, we shall have the petitions we are requesting. In order to finish biblical principle number one, the battle is God's, not ours, let's read two final scriptures, starting with 2 Timothy 4:18. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil assault. He will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Family, what a wonderful word of encouragement when we hear that the Lord will rescue us from every evil assault. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to worry and stress out. When the challenges of life come against us, we have God's word that says he will rescue us from every assault. So family, it is incumbent on us to know what the promises of God are and then call on the name of Jesus, quoting those scriptures, those promises that God has already placed in our life. Let's continue with reading John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." Family, this verse, Jesus spoke. He is speaking. So I want to point out those key phrases that should give us comfort and give us the courage to stand on God's word every day of our lives. It says at the very top of this verse, "Peace I, Jesus, leave with you." Jesus says it is perfect peace that he gives us. Then at the end of the scripture, it says that we must let the peace of Jesus the Christ, or our Heavenly Father, he says that we have to let it calm us in every circumstance and give us courage and strength for every challenge. Christians, this is why we can have perfect peace when we are going through Satan's attacks, because our God says he delivers us from every evil work. When we pray in faith and turn the challenge over to him in the name of Jesus. I say again, family, the battle is God's, not ours. Let's continue. Let's go to principle number two. Victory is ours, no exception. Victory is ours, no exception. We are victorious in Jesus. Let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 57. It says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ." 58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. Everything we do on this earth matters for eternity." Family, the word says that we are victorious and there are no exceptions. Verse 57 makes it so very clear. At the end of that scripture, it says that the Heavenly Father gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, if you have received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are a conqueror. That's what this verse is telling us. Then in verse 58, it says that we should excel in the work of the Lord. And at the very end of that scripture, it says, everything we do on this earth matters for eternity. That's why we have to be about the Father's business, doing those things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father and that are drawing people to Christ. That is the kind of lifestyle that each and every Christian should be living out. Let's continue with 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. We're talking about principle number 2, which is victory's ours, no exception. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the evil world system. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the evil world system, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. I don't know if we can make it any more clear, family. We got the victory. It says that everyone born of God, that's referring to those individuals who have called on the name of Jesus and accepted him as their Savior and Lord. We are victorious and we overcome the evil world system. Then at the end of that verse, it says, this is how we overcome the evil world system, our continuing and persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Family, it is our faith in God's word that overcomes all of the evil that is in this world. If we want to keep Satan out of our life and under our feet, we are going to have to operate in the God kind of faith. And just in case you do not know, the God kind of faith requires us to trust and do God's holy word daily. I want to repeat that, family. The God kind of faith requires us to trust and do God's holy word daily. Let's go on to our last scripture for principle number 2. Victory is ours, no exception. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Verse 14 says, inasmuch then as we believers have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in him as Savior. For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Verse 16. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. Oh, that's wonderful news, family. Wonderful news. Let's go back to verse 14. I want to highlight once again that last phrase at the end of the scripture that says, let us hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in him as Savior. And just to make it super clear, the him is Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. We're going to have to understand, first of all, what the scriptures are telling us, and then we're going to have to, by faith, operate in the promises of God, knowing that we can trust in our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's drop down to verse 15. Again, that last part of the scripture, it really highlights what we must do and understand what Jesus did on our behalf. First of all, he is operating as our high priest. And it says, knowing exactly how it feels to be human. That's the kind of life that Jesus lived out in this earth realm. He knew exactly what we were going through because he was all man, operating in this earth realm, showing us how to live out our life so that we could be successful and keep Satan under our feet. It says, in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Thank you, Jesus, because he was the perfect lamb. He was able to take on all the sin of the world, past, present, and future, and provided us eternal life in him. Verse 16 really sums it up and gives us a complete understanding of how we can come before our Father's throne of grace. So in answer to how we come, I want to read the second part of that scripture. It says, the throne of God's gracious favor with confidence and without fear. That's how we approach the throne of God. We approach the throne with confidence and without fear so that we may receive mercy for our failures. We are going to miss the mark from time to time, family, because we are still growing in Jesus. But we have the duty, the privilege, the honor to come before the Father, repent, and ask for forgiveness when we miss the mark. It says we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. Jesus is our high priest of our confession of faith words, which he presents to our heavenly Father in the high courts of heaven. Jesus is interceding on our behalf, but we have to speak the faith words first in order for Jesus to present them. This is why we have to pray over all the situations of life according to God's word, so that Jesus can be our spokesperson, our attorney, making intercession for us in heaven. Amen and amen. Let's continue with principle number 3. Expect to receive when you pray. Again, expect to receive when you pray. We can expect to receive when we pray according to God's will. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. 1 John 5, 13 through 15. Verse 13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life. This is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. And if we know for a fact, as indeed we do, that he hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the requests which we have asked from him. Family, we can expect to receive when we pray because we know that our prayers are lined up with God's word. That's the key when we pray. We must know what God has already promised us. And so what we're really doing is just reminding him, putting him in remembrance of what he has already promised us, declaring to Satan that we are the children of the Most High God, and we are claiming what God has already provided for us in his word. Let's go back to verse 13. I want to make sure that we hear exactly what these words are telling us. So in the last part of verse 13, it says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." Christians, that is us. We believe in the name of Jesus the Christ, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does. That's our ticket, so to speak, or our authority that we operate in, knowing what God has done for us through Jesus Christ and claiming what he has completed through his life, death, and resurrection. We already have eternal life in Jesus the Christ, so we don't have to be concerned about the time that will come at some future date. But knowing that we can trust in Jesus Christ here on earth to accomplish what we are required to do, first the Great Commission, and then, of course, operating successfully in our marriages, in our family units, in our church, in our communities, this is all part of our salvation packet, that we would have all that God promised us in his word. Verse 14 goes on to say, "If we ask anything according to his will that is consistent with his plan and purpose, God hears us." That's why it's so important to find out what the word of God says so that we can claim what he has already promised us. Now, verse 15 really sums up this whole topic of speaking God's word when we pray. The last part of the scripture says, "He hears and listens to us in whatever we ask." We also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us the request which we have asked from him, because our prayers line up with his plan and purpose. Amen. That's why it's important to speak God's word. Let's continue. Let's read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7, says, "Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will instead give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will instead give him a snake?" Verse 11, "If you then, evil, sinful by nature as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking him?" Now, family, I want to highlight once again those key words and phrases that will assist us in understanding our obligation or responsibility when we pray, when we ask, when we seek. Let's start at verse 7. It says, "If we ask, it will be given to us. If we knock, the door will be open. If we seek, we will find." Now, verse 11 really does the full summation of our responsibility. So I want to just read that one more time. It says, "If you then, evil, sinful by nature, as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking him?" Family, if we want to receive the promises of God, we are going to have to ask. We're going to have to pray and speak to our Heavenly Father to get those things that he has already provided for us here on earth, because we have an enemy and he is trying to block what is already ours. If you want the promises of God manifested in your life, you are going to have to ask the Heavenly Father in prayer, and then you will receive them. And just as important, if you want to find out how to operate in God's blessings, you are going to have to seek them out by studying God's word and then applying them to your life through obedience. Now, before you listeners get confused, this scripture does not mean that we ask and seek after the same petition over and over and over again. This is foolishness before our living God. What it is telling us to do is to ask and seek the Heavenly Father's help regarding all situations, big and small, that we may come across. I will be addressing this issue in more detail when we discuss the different types of prayers. For now, I just want to let you know that we pray one time in faith over any one situation, then speak a prayer of thanksgiving daily until the physical manifestation of our answered prayer takes place. Family, that's good news that we can come before the Heavenly Father and receive what He has promised us in His Word. Family, I'm sorry, but I am out of time. Please return next week as we continue with our study, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.